Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Church, we are all in transit. We are all required. We've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. This is the fourth week in a series called In Transit. We're in week four. And we've been exploring the characters, some characters from the Bible, some lives from the Bible who experience seasons of transition. And we're all there. No one is exempt from seasons of transition. That's how we grow. That's how we move from one place to another place in life, physically and spiritually. We are always in transition. The in-between trials of a life that is in transit of following Jesus, these people did. The stories of Job and Daniel and Paul and the disciples and Abraham and many like them are told for our benefit to help us see that all of these people experience times in these transition periods of frustration, of pain and suffering, and they all had difficult questions for God. We've been there, right? You've been there. I've been there. God's not afraid of difficult questions. He's a big God. He can take it all. Matter of fact, that's what makes this relationship that we have, right? He wants that. But we too experience these seasons of transition, and in them, it's vital that we rely on God when life gets tough. Sometimes we forget, especially when we create an island for ourselves, when we isolate ourselves from people, we forget. But we have to come under, just like we greeted a little bit ago, we need to be in each other's lives during the week, not just here on Sunday, right? We need to be checking up on people. We know that they're struggling. We need to give them a phone call and say, hey, I just want you to know I was praying for you. Is there anything that I can do for you? We need to be in each other's lives. Invite people into our lives. Don't go into your homes and shut your door. Don't drive into your garage and put the door down and just isolate yourself from people. We need each other. That's how we make it in this world. That's how we have today what we're talking about is the hope that these people in transit, these stories, these characters, these lives in the Bible, this one we're talking about today, never gave up hope in what God's plan was. 3 weeks ago, using the story of Job's experiences, the message was about helping us see that many of our trials are ordained and allowed by God. And ultimately, they are thresholds for us becoming more mature believers to walk, to go through the suffering, to go through the trials. And when we come out on the other side, that we are better, hopefully, and different, hopefully, than where we started before. That's God's plan. And ultimately, these thresholds, they help us as we go through them to touch other people's lives. Because you see, our purpose here is to go into all the world and make disciples. And so people have to see how we operate. People, we have to live our lives in front of people. We have to care what other people think about us and what they see in us. This week after that, we spent some time hearing and contemplating about the disciples' relationship with Jesus. How Jesus called them, challenged them, and when they chose to follow him, how change was required of them. And change is required of us if we're to become more like Jesus. When we come face to face with Jesus in our life, it always requires a response. When you read God's word, it always requires a response from you. What are you going to do with what you just heard? What are you going to do with what God just spoke to you? It requires a response. He calls us, he challenges us, because while he accepts us as we are, he knows that we can be better. And last week we took a look at Paul's life and how he walked and talked and not only spoke of how important it is to be content in all circumstances, he showed us the way as he walked, and we read his story in the Bible of how he was content in all circumstances. That doesn't mean he didn't waver some, but he had focus. And it's all wrapped up in whether a follower of Christ will trust the Lord with all their heart. And that brings us to this week. This week, having hope is very important for the Christ follower to endure the hardships the world brings, because we can lose hope real quick. When many things come down, when they just keep you feel like you're underwater, that you're under the waves, or you get up and another wave comes over you, it's like, am I ever going to get out of this? I need to be swimming. I don't just need to be treading water. I need to be swimming. And not just swimming in the shallow, because you can put your feet down. That's not where God wants us. He wants us in deeper waters. He wants us to be operating in His strength and swimming in deeper waters, not treading and losing ground. No matter how deep the valley, how wide the canyon, how narrow the cliff, sustained hope in the God who keeps His promises is essential for the follower to not only live, but to thrive in this world. We're not called to just live. We're not called to just be. We're not called to just exist. We're called to thrive in a world. That's why we're called salt. That's why we're called light. And we can only be that when we allow Jesus, the God's Son who lives in us, to come out of us. This morning we will draw our example from Daniel. Daniel, who spent a good bit of his life in exile. In exile, Daniel never lost hope in God's plan for his people and his provision in both prosperity and persecution. Because see, we have both. We have the good and we have the bad. Someone once said, why do we have good and bad? So we know the difference, right? We have good days and we have bad days. We have prosperity in our lives and we have persecution in our life. That's the abundant life. You know, we talk about the abundant life being everything good. But all experience, when ordained by God and allowed by God, are meant for our benefit and to build up the kingdom and to bring glory to God in our lives. So the takeaway today, here's what I want you to take away today from this message. It's my desire for us this morning to see that in times of prosperity and persecution, we should never lose our hope in God's plan. Never lose our hope in God's plan. Even when it doesn't seem that the temperature of the circumstances don't feel like it, we need to check our feelings at the door and we need to open His Word where there's truth. That's where we need to go. Pray with me. Father God, we love You so much. And God, there are times that we go through our day where that's not reflected in the way that we live. Because a follower of Christ checks in with You. We weigh our actions in light of Your Word. We weigh our thoughts. We weigh our motives that nobody else sees in light of Your Word, in light of Your expectation for a follower of Christ. And God, we need to be evaluating ourselves, not condemning ourselves, Lord. You don't condemn. You're looking to grow people into Your Son who look like Your Son, to live like Your Son lived. And so, God, You're looking for people to grow. We may ebb and flow in life. We may fall. We may backslide, if you will. We may take two steps back, but we got three steps ahead to take. So that moves us forward, Lord. And we need Your help to do that. So today, Father, as we open Your Word and as we listen to Your Word, let it not only be words in one ear and out the other, but Father, may we take and hide Your Word in our hearts that we might not sin against You, that we may draw application and be a part of the change that is required to become more like Christ. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Daniel is a book we call prophecy in the Bible. The overall theme of Daniel is God's sovereignty over history. In chapter 1, we can find the fundamental question that runs through the entire book of Daniel. And here it is: how God may continue to work His plans when all seems lost. Let me say it again. How God may continue to work His plans when all seems lost. Now, the word seems is a key word here. Because we all go through life. Well, it seems to be. Well, it seems to be. You know, pastors do, and I like to say, like, when there's something that's debatable in Scripture, there's something that a lot of people have, or we don't know for sure the reason for or the answer for, I like to use, well, it seems that Paul is saying here, or it seems that God was doing this right here. Because there's some things in the passage of Scripture that even as believers, we fight over. Like, it's supposed to be like, no, it's not like that. It's like this. That's why there's divisions in the church. But let me talk to you about this word seems in here. Seems is defined as appears to be. It has the appearance of. It has the air of being. It gives the impression of being. It looks like, looks as though, looks to be. Has the look of, it shows signs of. All of these words define the word seems. Now apply that word lost. Having lost, that things look like they're not going to happen. All seems lost. All seems over. All seems to be at the end. It appears that way. And as we go through life, this is what our life looks like sometimes. I prayed to God, and it just keeps coming, and it keeps coming. It seems that God doesn't care. It seems like I'm not going to make it. It seems like that's not what God wants. Our lives reflect that. And our lives can feel like we're in exile. And Daniel's a great character today to talk about. Because I'm sure that when the temperature of the Hebrews' circumstances, being in Babylonian captivity, caused many of them to think, where's God? All seems lost. I guess he's not going to show up. I guess he's not the God who promised after all. Let me read you out of Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, took it over. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. Now remember, through here, as we go through these things, God allows some of these and ordains some of these things to happen for the benefit of his people to grow and see him and come back to him, right? So let's pick it back up. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God, little g. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, great name, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They got the best of the best pickings. They were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter into the king's service. They were to work for Nebuchadnezzar. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And we know that those last three names, who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were given new names. Daniel was a Hebrew, and Daniel was one who was in exile during the time of this Babylonian captivity. But Daniel wasn't one who thought all was lost. He still knew God was with him and that God was in control, that God had never left him. So he was going to be faithful to what God had called him, whether in captivity or not. Daniel rose in the ranks in the king's court and eventually had great influence with the Babylonian king. Daniel is noted in Scripture for interpreting dreams, this gift that God had given him. And more importantly, being a man of God, even in the worst of persecution. And if you've read anything about Daniel, you know that he suffered persecution in his life. One of his greatest persecutions we find in chapter 6 of Daniel, and we tell it in stories, we tell it in different ways about him being thrown in the lion's den, right? Who wants that, right? Hungry lions. And if you haven't read that story in chapter 6 of Daniel, I encourage you to do it. It's an amazing, powerful story. And we say it so much that it loses. You ever say something so much like tartlet, 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 word has lost all meaning, right? We say it too much, and then it loses meaning or it loses its effect. You had anything happen in your life like that? Sometimes when we read a Bible story, we've said it so much that we forget the effect or the meaning or the purpose it has. So I encourage you to go read that. In the Old Testament, God's people were exiled from the promised land because of their sin. I want you to see the correlation there. They were exiled from the promised land because of their sin. That's relatable, church. Sometimes we are allowed to feel like we're in exile because there's a sin going on in our life that's unrepentant, that we don't want to deal with, that we keep coming back to and keep revisiting. Or it's unrepentant sin that, no, I'm okay with this. So sometimes we can feel an exile because of our sin. This is a characteristic or result of an unrepented sin in our life. Whenever you feel distant from God or that it seems He is far away, our lives seem like we are in exile, that we're separated from God. But while we know God doesn't leave us, Scripture tells us that. Remember, back to truth. It's usually our sin, unrepentant sin, that brings about this feeling of God's absence. Because you see, God doesn't move. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are required to change to meet Him. He doesn't come down to our level. We come up to His, and He's provided a way for that to take place. He hasn't left us. He is just waiting for us to bring a changed heart to Him for cleansing, for healing, and for repair, to get on board with His plan, for His way. And we know in Scripture it says His will and His way is perfect and pleasing, right? The empires of this Old Testament time period, though, conquered God's people. And Israel would not be an independent nation again for thousands of years. Exile is a difficult time of transition, and that was a long one. For the Hebrews, the time of exile was preparation before the coming Messiah. It was not for a short period, but it would last for years. In Jeremiah 29, it says this, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Here's what He says. "Build houses and settle down." You're going to be there for a while if He's telling you to build houses and He's telling you to settle down. It's going to be a long while. "Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters." We know how long that takes. "Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters." See, we got generations now, right? So we're getting a feel of how long this is going to be. "Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile." We get it right here. "Which I have carried you into exile." God ordained, God allowed. "Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." In other words, if you follow what God, if you are obedient through this time of exile, through this time of persecution, there will be prosperity. Trust God with all your heart. Trust in His way. Even though it seems like all is lost, even though it seems like we're coming to our end, God is still involved. And we have to trust in His plan. We can see in this passage of Scripture that exile can have times of prosperity and persecution. For the follower of Christ who cares continually, become less about the materials this world can offer and be more focused on the hope of heaven. Because if we focus on this world, yeah, it seems like it's lost. But heaven's ahead. This is not our home. Heaven's our home, right? Life can seem, though, like we're in exile. Not because of punishment, but because, like we saw with Paul last week, they believe that he believes to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To die is gain. Gaining heaven is the true follower of Christ's desire that they yearn for it. Now, I saw this illustration, in my study time. How many of you know who Francis Chan is? Francis Tanner, I love listening to some of his things. But he did this illustration that I want to share with you. I hope I don't hit my head on that speaker right there. All right. All right, I got a rope here. I hope it comes out right. Okay. All right. Here we go. We got this long rope. Got this long rope. But what I want you to do is I want you to see this rope as your life, right? We got a rope here. It's long. We got this long rope right here. But this is our timeline. This is our life's timeline. But at the end, we got this little red part right here. All right? This is our time on earth right here. Time on earth. This is our time in eternity right here. Right? It's good. It's good. That's eternity. But you see, we spend so much time focusing on this short period of time, living for this period of time, that we forget about we're called to live in light of heaven, of our eternity. I love it when he says, you see, we start saving and we start working and we start saving so we can do this little thing right here, right? We spend all this time saving and working many hours and hours and hours and breaking our back so we can do this little thing right here. Well, I'm going to work all these hours and I'm going to buy my boat because I'm going to be on the lake every weekend after that. And that's not wrong. It's not bad to have those things. But I'm telling you, what's the motives of our hearts? What's the motives for living on this earth? Because if we're followers of God, this is not what we live for. We live in light of eternity. And so the world says, why are you doing that? That's stupid. Why do you give your money to the church? Why do you tithe 10%? You could be using that money to buy your motorcycle. You could be using that money to go on vacation. Why do you give that much money to the church? That's stupid. And we say, no, you're stupid. You're stupid. Because what I'm doing on earth right here is going to ring in eternity. It's making a difference for my eternity right here. And so I'm going to live. I'm going to give my tithe because my treasures are in heaven. They're not for the earth. I'm going to serve the poor because that rings in eternity. I'm going to take care of the orphans while I'm here. That's what I'm going to do with my time because that rings in eternity. I'm going to seek for people and tell them about the full gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That will ring in eternity. All hope is not lost. Scripture says that this is a temporary situation. This is temporary. This short period of our life is temporary because here we live forever. The question is, what will our eternity be? That's what we have to keep in mind as we're living here on earth. And you see, that fits right in, thank you, Jesus, with our theme. You see, every moment matters in light of eternity. It's not every moment matters so I can do what I want to do here or feel good here or have comforts here. Every moment matters in light of eternity. That should motivate us to matter in the moment, not the other way. I'm not going to matter in the moment because I want to be in eternity. That's like I'm going to do these works so I can go to heaven. But we have been given heaven, and therefore it should cause us to be a catalyst inside of us to love the Lord so much that we do what he asks us to do. Daniel, while in exile, experienced times when life could be considered good and prosperous. He was wise and had God's favor, a good job, and influence with the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Instead of complaining or revolting, which he could have done both, during his time in exile, Daniel instead strived to serve God every day despite his circumstances. You know, that's encouragement for some of us. For some folks that I visited this past week, there were heartbreaking situations, some of them. And they could say, all seems lost. They could give up. They could revolt. They could just say, Lord, just take me now. I'm giving up. But Daniel is a good example for us of when not to complain, but to live and strive every day to serve God despite our circumstances. Daniel's faithfulness gave him favor with God and with other people. Exile for Daniel was also a time of persecution, though. People wanted to destroy Daniel. We know that story leading up to the time of his little experience in the lion's den. But they tried to take him down because of his faith in God. Hence the story of that experience in the lion's den. However, no matter in times of favor or struggle, and listen to this, church, here is where we can learn and apply from Daniel's life. Daniel did not waver and saw God provide for him in miraculous ways. You see, we don't look enough around to see the miracles that are happening in life. There are miracles happening every day of our life. We got to open the eyes of our heart to see where God is working. Rejoice with him. And at times, just admire, you know. What secured Daniel's faith in God was hope. I want you to say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Hope. Say it again.
Hope.
And again.
Hope.
For exiles, the hope of God's redemption was at the core of continuing in a life. Daniel knew the exile was not permanent, but was temporary, and had hope in God, the God of Israel. For Hebrews like Daniel, oral tradition told the stories of Abraham and Moses and how God redeemed his people in the worst of times. The God of Israel was a God you could trust and place your hope in. They had their examples, and they've passed them down to us. We have our examples. These stories gave them a hope to carry on, to persevere. Hope gave them strength to stay this all, to say that this is all worth it. This is all worth the while. I want you to look at this video that I came across. It's called Hope Is Here, and I hope it's got a great message that you'll take away. Go ahead and play that video, Chris.
Thank you.
Hope is here. Why is hope here? Because Jesus is here. You see, Scripture says that God dwells in the praises of his people. So when you're not here in this room, this is just a room. This is sheetrock and paint and material and carpet and wood. But when you come in here, God is here. When you leave out of here, God goes with you. Hope goes with you. Jesus goes with you. And we, with Jesus in us, called to go to make disciples, with Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit guiding us, he is the hope of the world through us. It did my heart good, because sometimes, you know, we get in a community and I'm wondering, okay, God, what are we supposed to do? Are we making an impact in our community, God? If we left this community, if we just shut the doors and laid it down, would people miss us? And, you know, every pastor's hope is to say that, you know, I would hope that they would miss us, that they would not want us to leave, or that they weren't running us out, you know, or something like that. But it makes all the difference. And God gives me the little encouragement every once in a while. A lady, a visitor for Vacation Bible School, we had the parents come and join us on Vacation Bible School the last day, had a hot dog lunch, and I was pouring drinks, and she came up to me and said, Pastor, I just want you to know that we are so glad that you guys are in the community. You have helped our family out so much. You mean so much. Your church means so much to this community. And I know God was using her to touch my heart, because the week, you know, other than VBS working every day, and, you know, everybody, Miss Ruth, you need a vacation. Just want you to know, Greg, she needs a vacation, right? Okay? And all the other people who worked, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. But even after all that work, when we bear down, we can get discouraged about some things, like are we spinning our wheels or are we making a difference? Well, really, the point is we got to be obedient no matter what. Because that can feel like exile, that can feel like persecution. So we have to be obedient, knowing that God's will be done, that seeds are being planted. He'll do the watering, or somebody else, and then it will grow. But it's always good to hear a little bit of encouragement like that. And God gives that when you need it the most, right? Isaiah 40, 31 says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. I'm hoping that's the case as I'm training for the peach tree. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Romans 15, 13 encourages us in this way. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. You see, he'll give it to us on the journey. He's not going to give it to us right here. Just give me all I got for the journey. He's going to give it to us as we need it on the journey, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you have hope, you have everything. You won't give up. If you have hope, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go as far as the Lord wants me to go. No matter what's out in front of me, I have hope that he's going to be there, that he's with me. A man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon. He asked a boy in the dugout what the score was. The boy responded, 18-0. We're behind. Boy, said the spectator, I bet you're discouraged. Why should I be discouraged, replied the little boy. We haven't even gotten up to bat yet. Listen to what Romans 8 says. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This little boy knew that, hey, we hadn't gotten up the bat yet. Wait till you see what's coming up. You haven't seen anything yet. Hope is only hope in what has not happened yet, or accomplished yet, or revealed yet. Because of Jesus, by choosing Jesus, we are assured by faith that our hope will be made manifest one day. Waiting and hoping for the promise to be fulfilled, get this, by faith. By faith. That's what we stake it all on. It's faith that the promises are true in the Word of God. I believe it. But I can't just believe part of it. I got to believe all of it. If you don't believe everything in his word, then you don't believe any of it. If you don't believe one little part, then the rest of it can't be true. So if you believe the word of God, you believe it from beginning to end. And he says that he's coming back. Lewis Smedes wrote this: is there a hope when hope is taken away? Is there hope when the situation is hopeless? That question leads us to Christian hope. For in the Bible, hope is no longer a passion for the possible. It becomes a passion for the promise. And we have to believe in the promise. Romans 5 says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Come on. Anybody suffering? Let's glory in it, okay? Come on. I lost my place. Because we know that sufferings produces this, church: perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You have it. I have it. If we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the deposit of the Holy Spirit in us. He is there and we can count on him. 1 Peter says this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That means it's coming. All seems lost, but we have hope in the promise that is coming. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. When the Christ follower's hope lies in the promise, Jesus returning, eternity with our Lord and Savior, there should be a peace that lives within us. A peace that gives our soul rest and calm in this upside down world. Why are we surprised when the world does what the world does? Why are we surprised when we watch on the news what happens in this world, the evil and the bad? God said it would happen. There's a second verse of a hymn that resonates with me. And it's in the hymn called "It Is Well With My Soul." Yeah. And it puts persecution and troubles in perspective. Listen to this. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate. And hath shed his own blood for my soul. He knows what we're going to go through. Yes. And it's okay. It's okay. God is still in control. God is still on the throne, no matter what we have to go through. John 16 says this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Church, because Christ died, because he was buried, and because he rose again, that's the full gospel. You got to give it to somebody. When you give it to somebody, you give them the full gospel. We can have hope. This place is temporary, and everything about this world is temporary and will pass away. The devil's permission to roam, the sin, the pain, the suffering, it's all temporary. And it is all temporary in light of what Jesus did on the cross and what he did from the grave. He came back from it. So, church, don't lose hope, because the hope of the world gives us a reason to hope. And hope lives here because hope lives in you and me. That's why Jesus died. That's why he came to earth, to give us a hope. He lived and he breathed and he was without sin. And he came to die for you and me and said, I'm coming back. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Thomas said, well, how do we know how to get there, Lord? He says, I am the way. Yeah. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one gets to heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me. Count on it. Take it to the bank. I will be back. And until then, stay the course. No matter what you go through, I'm bringing the Holy Spirit. He's coming. He's going to be with you. When we come today in this worship experience of taking the juice and the bread, the representations of our Lord's body and blood, remember, that's what he died for, so you can have hope. And not only so you can have it, so you can pass it on to somebody else. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your words. Your words are true. They are truth, Lord. And we believe every word. We may not understand, Lord. It's not in our minds, our finite minds, to understand every word that you say or how it's written out, Lord. Your Spirit opens those doors, opens those treasure chests to us when it's appropriate, Lord. But God, we have to believe by faith that every word is true, and we want to follow you because you have promised to come back. Jesus, thank you for giving up your life for us. You are our hope. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for remaining here and helping us along the way, this journey that is so tough sometimes. But right now, we want to focus in on gratitude. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the hope. So we take this communion, these representations of your body and blood, remembering what you gave, and you willingly gave it. So bless it now to your glory, to our remembrance, in the powerful and hopeful name of Jesus. And we all pray together. Amen. This part of our worship, church, if you're a believer, you place your trust in the Lord, then this gratitude, this worst part of worship is for you. So there's two tables up front, two tables in the back. Come as you're ready.
Lord, thank you so much for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to walk this life out hopeless, but every moment of every day, we can have hope that's found in you. I pray for my friends this week that you would bless them with that living hope, that in every moment of their day, their minds would be fixed on you, that they would live for you in every single way, that the words of their mouth and the meditations of their heart would be pleasing to you. I ask that you would bless them and use them to be a blessing to every person they meet. We pray this in your name, and everyone said,
amen.
Be blessed. Have a great week.